Vista is a local charity that essentially helps people with sight loss, but frankly, often it kind of gets unnoticed until it's needed. Well, the work they do really does change people's lives, but they also need your help, as I found out when I popped out to, first of all, meet someone who'd never heard of Vista until she unexpectedly needed their services.
Catherine, hi.
Hello, Catherine. We've come to your house in Fleckney. You're first into your sitting room in the front room here, and this is where your daughter sleeps, isn't it? She's come to stay with you for a bit.
She's here with me for a week.
How do 15-year-olds fill a room like that? I don't understand how that happens.
She moved in last night, so yeah, she's done it well.
It's like an explosion in the clothes factory. We've got lots of people here to talk about. We'll talk to them in a second or two, but you're the kind of the star of the show as far as this as is concerned.
Okay, yeah.
So just, we're here because in many ways your life has taken, in some ways, a pretty fundamental change over the last few months.
That's right, yes.
Tell us what happened.
Basically, last year, I woke up one morning and I had my left eye was basically foggy. It sort of concerned me at the time because I'd had some issues with my right eye 3 years ago, having a uveitis, which I couldn't really see out of anyway.
So just let me pause you for a second. So in your right eye, you have little or no sight in any case. So therefore, waking up in the morning
was why you'd be so worried.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, I was quite concerned. Went to work for a couple of days, mentioned it to my boss at work, Sally, and she sort of said, look, you know, I think because of what you've had 3 years ago, you would be better to go back down to ophthalmology at Leicester Royal to the eye casualty, which is what I did. So off to ophthalmology, they checked both my eyes, knew that there was obviously the issue from previous, because I'd been down to them before with this eye, with my right eye, but with my left eye, obviously it was a new thing. So they did all the vision checks that they needed to do. And said to me that really there was nothing wrong with my left eye. It seemed healthy, it was fine. But what they wanted to do was actually explore what was going on behind, because they could see my vision wasn't as normal. So within a week, they referred me to have an MRI scan, which I had in one of these mobile units over at Hinckley and Bosworth Hospital. I hadn't had any symptoms other than my left eye went foggy.
What had they found?
Basically, what they had found was a lengioma, which is a benign tumour that was actually sat in the lining of the brain. So it wasn't in the brain, it was actually in the lining, the meninges lining. And they told me that it was quite big, and they believe it had been growing for quite a few years, but hadn't been discovered prior, obviously, to last June, July time. So,
just to let people know, we're in your house.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And two people from Vista are here who work in this
area,
the time.
Yes.
Just tell us how, and their reaction was really strong. Tell us how big that tumour was.
The tumour was actually the size of an orange.
Which made us all gasp,
yes.
Because how is there possibly room in your head for a brain and an orange?
Yeah. It's funny enough, actually, we called it, myself and my children, we called it the Satsuma, because I was originally told that it was the size of like a small Satsuma by Nottingham Neurology. And, of course, when they went in on the operation, I had the craniotomy in the August, they discovered that it was obviously a lot bigger than what they thought. And it was the size of an orange. So, but it was our sort of like nice name for it, because the word tumour is not a nice name to have, really. So it became the Satsuma.
Because it's obviously why they asked if you'd had any symptoms or not, because it's remarkable that you'd had no symptoms, no headaches, no wobbliness, nothing.
No, nothing. But I had to obviously stop driving at that point as well, which was, you know, quite hard for me, being a single parent and not having the use of my car. But my friends and my family have rallied around me, and I've been offered lots of lifts to places. And my brother, actually, he drove up from Cornwall to take me to Nottingham on the day I had the operation. My sister, she came down from Sheffield. That's where she lives. And she came down from Sheffield quite a few times to see me. So, lots of support. But yeah, a bit shocking, really.
Well, I mean, incredibly shocking because it's life-changing, isn't it?
Whichever way you look at it.
So you've had no improvement in that in the site at the moment. Doctors don't know whether that will come back or not. That's an ongoing thing. You've got results coming through next month and the rest of
that's
it.
That's right, yes.
Meanwhile, you've got to live your life. As we outlined, you've got your teenage daughter here.
Yes, yeah.
You've got to keep the house going, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
How have you adapted your life to accommodate that?
Well, I've had to move house since all this happened because at the time my landlady was actually selling the house I was in, rent, because I do rent. So I sort of came out of hospital in the September, moved at the end of October into this property and really have just sort of recovered slowly and actually, you know, learnt to, you know, find my way around this house. When I first moved in, there's quite a lot, because it's a terraced house, there's quite a lot of steps in and out the bathroom and the kitchen, etc. But I navigate them now fine. I know that they're there, you know, so you kind of adapt to your surroundings, I think. But yes, I've had to look at lighting. I've had to sort of change bulbs in this light here so that they're more of a brighter white rather than a dull yellow. And then really just, you know, get my confidence back. I think that's the biggest thing for me, was the confidence of going out on my own, which I didn't do for quite a few months. I would only go out with somebody. So
it's an extraordinary story that you tell about how you're bimbling along with life like the rest of us, and then something massively changes.
Yeah.
Anna Holt, you're from Vista, and you and Catherine have just met, to be clear.
Yes.
But tell us what your role is.
So I'm part of the rehabilitation team. So we go out and visit people daily. We go and have a chat to them about their sight loss, their eye conditions, how they're getting on, you know, at home and things like that. Then we can look at things like daily living skills. So if they're sort of struggling in the kitchen, keeping people safe, keeping people independent, it's really important.
Let me stop you there for a second. Independent seems to be the crucial word here, because Catherine's just said that she just, you know, didn't want to go out.
No.
That takes a massive amount of bravery. And, you know, I can understand why you'd say, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to, that's it. I'm not moving anywhere. What do you do to enable people to live the most sort of independent lives that they can do?
So again, it sort of goes down to when you meet somebody, you know, everybody we meet are completely different eye conditions, completely different sort of support networks. So it depends on the person. Some people do, again, struggle, you know, to go out and things like that. That might be because obviously they're not able to see the curbs properly. They're tripping, falling. You know, we're dealing with people as well, got different ages, different health conditions. So we look at things like long cane training as well, so routes as well. So if people are wanting to get to work, get to surgeries, anything people want to be able to do, we want to be able to help them, really. So
it's an amazing, I mean, it's an amazing thing that Vista does, isn't it?
Well, I think so. I love
it. It's incredible. It's incredible. Because you make a difference to people's lives in a fundamental way.
Yeah. No, I love it. You know, it's brilliant. You know, really lucky to do what I do. So
have you always done that?
No. I was a trained goldsmith, actually. So
hang on a minute. Just stop everybody. Just you were a what?
A trained goldsmith. So
so you could sit here and help Catherine and make some jewellery at the same time.
I could, yes.
Genius.
I know. So, but I did some volunteering for Guide Dogs, who sort of told me a bit more about it. So when I was doing a bit of like guiding and stuff like that, they said, oh, well, you do know that there is this role, which I thought, no, never heard of. So went and did the course at Birmingham to qualify, and luckily Vista took me on for my placement.
That's amazing. How long ago is that?
So it's only a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a COVID change.
Yes. It was an interesting time to do it all.
Yeah.
But but no, I love it. Very lucky. Wow. Very, very lucky.
And Catherine, it seems to me so powerful what Anna's talking about, this ability to create bespoke assistance for you. Must fill you with a degree of sort of hope and optimism.
I mean, to be fair, for myself, I really hadn't heard about Vista as a charity prior to me.
Why would you have done? Because
this
is all blown up out of nowhere.
The thing is, I work at a doctor's surgery, and although there is, if I looked for the information, yes, it would be there. But it's not something that you sort of need to look for, so you don't look for it, you know. But obviously, since I was referred to Vista via ophthalmology at Leicester Royal, You know, they've been so helpful to me, you know, contacting me on the phone, coming to see me. I actually had one lady, Rebecca, she took me out because I said my confidence had gone outside of the house. And she said, well, I'll come and I'll walk you to the surgery in Fleckney where I work, you know, and I'll help you cross the roads. Because, you know, all that changes basically, you know, rather than crossing on a corner, I have to make sure I go up the road a bit in case the car that's coming round the corner, so they can see me and they're not just straight on, you know, I'm not straight there.
It's a journey, isn't it? You've only just started it. Yeah. How are you in all of that?
I'm really quite a strong person. I've had quite a lot sort of happen to me in the last 13 years, you know, sort of split up with my husband, which is all amicable now and everything. But then I lost my mum quite suddenly. So I think over the years, because of those things, I've kind of built up this sort of immunity to, you know, difficult situations. And also, obviously, I've brought two children up on my own. You know, and they're 18 and 15 now, and you know, amazing. They I'm very proud of, you know, the job I have done. And people say to me, you know, I can't get over how happy you are. You know, I am, you know, even though I have now got this sight loss, I am a happy person. And I thank my stars that I'm here still. And I think that's the big thing. I think that was the thing I thought about first when I first got told. Was, you know, okay, I might not be here. What are my children going to do? Kind of thing. But actually, I'm still here. And I live every day for what it is. Definitely.
She's just an amazing optimist, incredibly optimistic person. We'll keep in touch with her as well. And in fact, you'll hear a bit more about Vista a bit later on this show, and we'll have a bit on the show for you tomorrow. A bit later on, you'll hear about the fact that actually they're in desperate need of funding and volunteers. COVID really knocked the wind out of their sails as far as funding goes, and they really do need some help too. So they give incredible help, but they need a bit of help. So we'll do that for you a little bit later on the show this afternoon.